Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here. May you be glorified today, and may your people be edified as we study to learn of you and to be like you. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Amen. So here's a passage. We've been going through this little short mini-series. We're on part two, the water, the walk, and the wall. And we're talking about Joshua conquering Jericho. Some things that I know we've learned since Sunday school. So let me just read this to you, and we'll see how the Lord takes us. In Joshua chapter 6, Peyton Isabella, if you'll put it on the screen in the King James Version for me, please. I'm going to read some passages from the NLT and the KJV. Here's what it says in Joshua chapter 6, starting at verse 1. It says, "Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go in or out." Or actually it says to go out or in. So Jericho, let me give you a little quick 30-second background. Jericho was essentially a fortified city. They were actually called city-states. So the whole city was a state. The whole city had a king. The whole city has its own army. So they were self-sufficient. Just right here at the doorway going into Canaan, God promised the Canaan land to Abraham. Listen, way back in Genesis chapter 12, God said, "I'm going to give you a promised land flowing with milk and honey." This is the doorway to that promised land. You get to Canaan by going through Jericho. Okay, that's another message right there, but we'll talk about that another time. So they come to Jericho, which is the only way to get into the Canaan land, this fortified city with these 16-foot walls, which I'll talk about next Sunday, because next Sunday the title of the message is The Wall. I think there's a TV show called The Wall, but we're not going to deal with the wall. We're going to deal with the walk today. And so the Bible says that this city, Jericho, which by the way is a historical city, it's near the Dead Sea, the lowest spot on earth, and there's about, I don't know how many residents. It seems like there could be about, according to history and some extra-biblical sources, maybe 2,000 residents, 8 acres of property, 300 soldiers. They were weaponized, and people actually lived, wait for it, there are people that actually lived inside the walls. The walls were so big, they were seemingly apartment buildings. So the Bible says in verse 2 of Joshua chapter 6, "But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors." That's verse 2 of Joshua chapter 6. Verse 3 says, "You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Okay, so the word march is there. We'll talk about that shortly. But let me just say this. We learned this quote-unquote story in Sunday school. I want to try to provide a new insight on it because it's more than just a Sunday school tale. It's more than just a veggie tale. It's more than just a Superbook episode. It's more than just a cartoon. This was probably one of the most amazing feats in the Old Testament, right up there with the parting of the Red Sea, the raising of the dead, and the feeding of the people of Israel with manna, and all the other miraculous things that happened. This is right up there in the top, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. It's because God loves to do things that are impossible for us and possible for him. And that, by the way, is the definition of miracle. We use a miracle, we kick it around just like it's a softball. A soccer ball. We don't have any sort of regard for the term miracle anymore. It's just so diminished. We talked about this in Sunday school regarding the word wonderful, the word awesome. These words have just become such a part of our vernacular, such a part of our vocabulary, that it carries no weight anymore. A good hamburger is awesome. I mean, come on. How can we use that to describe the God of the universe? Now, I like Five Guys burgers and fries as much as the next guy, but I don't use that to describe the God of the universe. the great creator. Amen. So what happens is that we come to this particular passage, and it says that the men were to walk around the wall once a day for 6 days. Let me just tell you some things that I found going back and revisiting this. When I was a kid in Sunday school, I think we were taught that everybody in Israel walked around the wall. Well, it wasn't everybody. It was certain people. There was a front guard. There was a rear guard, and in the middle were priests with trumpets. Hebrew word is shofars, which I'm going to talk to you about next week. A shofar was a special type of trumpet made from a ram's horn. And then there were priests that were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which was symbolic or represented the presence of God. That's who went around the wall. We don't know how many there were. It could have been a couple thousand. I read that it could have been 40,000 based on some passages elsewhere in Joshua. If you go back to Numbers, it seems like the census says there was a 600,000 fighting men. So it could have been over 500,000 people walking around the wall once a day. Every day for 6 days. Now here's the exciting part to me. The exciting part to me is that only Joshua knew the whole plan. Mark, can you turn off the lights for just 1 second? Only Joshua knew the whole plan. I want to show you something. You see these priests that are blowing the horn. You see the ones that are, this is just a replication or imaging. We don't know if this was actually how they looked or what they looked like. But one thing that I thought about is this. Remember when you used to go to the movie theaters? Way back in the day. I don't know if they do that anymore. Marie and I went to the movie the other day, and there was no one to help us to our seat. I mean, it was pitch black. There was no one with the little light. But I got the little light here because the little light way back in the day when we would go to the movies, you know, those of us of a certain age, when we went to the movie, there would be an usher there. The movie we went to the other day, there were no ushers. There were no cashiers. We had to buy our ticket from a robot. I mean, we didn't have a ticket stub. Everything is AI. Everything is automated. No human interaction at all. We could barely find the bathroom or the popcorn stand. So we went to the movie. Nobody with the usher light. Nobody giving us the way to get to our seats. But fortunately, we made it there because we got there early enough before the lights got turned off. But they used to turn off the lights, even for the trailers. And you'd have this usher that would just show the light. And I alluded to this last week, Psalms 119:105. It says that the Lord's word, I love this. It says that the Lord's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And there's one thing about that. When we used to go to the theater as kids, and they would have a little light when you came in late, you only could see one step at a time. You take a step, there was just a little light like this, maybe even smaller, a pen light. And you could only see the step in front of you. You couldn't see, like I can see to the end of this room. You can only see that one step. And that's basically, you can turn them back on now, Mark. That's basically what God was doing, in my humble opinion, with the children of Israel. He was only giving them information, listen, on a need-to-know basis. So every day, hundreds, maybe dozens, maybe hundreds of thousands of men are walking around a wall once a day, every day, for 6 days. But on day one, here's what you really need to get. No one knew how many laps it was going to take. No one knew how God was going to do it. God never revealed that he was going to make the wall fall down. God never revealed that all of the soldiers inside of Jericho were going to be massacred. God never revealed the process which he was going to take. All he said to them was, every day, once a day, walk around the wall. There's a message there for us. We don't know what the future holds. We don't understand why we're in wars and rumors of wars. We don't understand why there are embargoes and tariffs. We don't understand why taxes and income is the way they are. We don't understand why AI is taking over our jobs. We don't understand why there are troubles and challenges every day that we deal with in the world. But God says not to worry. Just deal with this one step at a time. I got the future. I got what's over the horizon. I'll take care of what you can't see. I'll deal with what you don't know. I will fix what you can't fix. I will help you with things that you haven't even dealt with yet or understood, because I'm going to make this thing available to you and you're going to be victorious. Amen. I put in my notes that these men were prepared to walk every day, and I was trying to think of something on that magnitude. And what came to mind was the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York every year from 8:30 a.m. Eastern till noon. It's only a 3.5-hour walk or march, but that's only for television. What we don't see behind the scenes is that I've read that it takes 24 to 36 hours to fill the balloons. There's like multiple floats. There's multiple bandstands. There's multiple acts. They have over 5,000 participants on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. But here's something interesting about it. 5,000 people. I think I put down 23 floats. There's like 11 bands. When I thought about all the preparation that it takes, months and months for this preparation, they're still only walking a path, a marching path, essentially a parade path of 2.5 miles. That's a quick straight shot with a couple curves where they stage and where they end. These guys are going around a city, essentially sitting ducks for snipers, sitting ducks for armaments, sitting ducks for any type of military militia that would attack them. Musicians blowing trumpets, people carrying an ark, and soldiers that are just walking in a sort of an organized cadence. This really wasn't a march like left, right, left, right. It was more like a processional where they're marching and they're doing this with no knowledge of what's going to happen to them. And I started thinking about it with the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. There, every detail is worked out to the minute, almost to the half a minute, because they have to have commercial breaks and interviews and talks and all these sidebar things. But with this, Joshua said, God told me to tell you just to walk. And I thought about that for us. Sometimes we don't need too much detail. Too much information can be distracting. Too much information can cause us to try to act upon our own and figure things out. God said, no. I'm not telling you nothing. You just walk. I got the rest. You just walk. I want to encourage you this morning, whatever you're going through, whether it's physical, financial, emotional, with your job, your family, your spouse, your kids, your neighbors, your car, your income, whatever you're going through, let me just tell you something. Just keep walking. Just keep taking one step at a time. Don't try to figure it out. Don't ask for some big revelation. Don't need a big roadmap. Just take the step that's right in front of you. That's all we're responsible for. One step. This march was amazing. I'll tell you one other thing about it that really blew me away. The Bible says, here's what the Lord told Joshua to tell him. In verse 10, he says, do not shout. He says in the NLT, don't even talk. Joshua, not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout, then shout. Can you put it up here in the King James Version for me? Put it up here in the KJV to satisfy our KJ only people. For the KJV only people, he says, and Joshua commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth. So the Lord is doing this. I love this part, because this got overlooked in my remembrance of this as a Sunday school story. I didn't think about that. He said, I want you to do this, but listen, I want you to do it silently. No talking, no conversation, no strategizing, no complaining. Like, what is God up to? What is this? We're walking around in these ridiculous circles. Are we going to shoot somebody? Are we going to fight? When do we fight? I was watching my cousin Benny the other day, and I love the part where the guy kept coming back to the bar. The guy that owed you $200. He said, are we going to fight now? Are we ready to fight? And when it was time to fight, he got knocked out. But at any rate, the point is that God said, I don't want any sidebar conversations. Don't talk to your neighbor. Don't talk to your spouse. Don't talk to your friends. This is not about what you think. This is not about what you have to say. I don't need any input from any of you. Just walk. Just walk.
That's good, preacher. That's good.
Just walk. Don't talk. And you know what? Sometimes we just need to learn. And I'm almost done. Just hang with me a few more minutes. Sometimes, everybody, we just need to learn how to be quiet. Sometimes God just doesn't need us to say nothing. You know what I mean? Sometimes we're uncomfortable. Many of us are uncomfortable with silence. Just being quiet. We got to have background music. We got to have the fan got to be going. We got to have the TV has to be on. We have to have something going. We need some sort of audible stimulation. No. Try 2 minutes a day of just absolute stark silence. Just be alone with your thoughts. Think about, and I believe it. I don't know. I can't prove it because there's no scripture to say it. But I believe the Lord wanted them to just to reflect. Take this time while you're walking to think how God brought you through the wilderness. God brought you through the Red Sea. God brought you through the mountains. God brought you through the battles. God brought you when there was no food, there was no water, there was no path, there was no money, there was no information. You didn't have a standing army. You didn't have swords. You didn't have weapons. But God brought you through. Just think about that. Nothing else. Just think about what he's already done. Be alone with your thoughts and process that. Marinate over what God has done, as Sister C says. Is doing, shall do, will do, has already done, and will continue to do. Think about that. Said silence. He said silence. I put in my notes Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I put in my notes Lamentations 3:26. The King James Version says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Just be at peace with silence. Let God speak. Here's my final thought. The Bible says in verse 11 of Joshua 6 as I close, it says, so the ark of the Lord was carried around town once that day, and then they returned and spent the night in the camp. And verse 12, it says, Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests carried the ark again. I love that. I love the fact that he said, do it again. In other words, in basketball lingo, run it back. We're doing it again. Let's run it back. He said every day they kept coming back and doing it again. And I think that it was the Lord saying to them and to us that when we're walking, God is working stuff in us and he's working stuff out of us. We just, it's sort of a spiritual enema. We just need to be cleaned out sometimes. Sometimes we need to just be devoid of all the garbage, the negativity, the bad vibes, the anger, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, some of the rage, some of the things that we hold on to. God just needs us to walk that out. Get it out. Get it out. Stop it. Stop being so angry. Stop being so bitter. Stop being so unforgiving. Stop holding on this stuff. Just walk that stuff out while you're walking. Say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I want you. Lord, help me to stop feeling the way I feel about this person or that person. Fix my heart, Lord. Change my heart. Change my mind. Change my motives, Lord. Change what appetites I have. Change what drives and thirst I have, Lord. Just give me the right attitude and the right mindset. Amen? Amen. And we're just walking, and God is just working. God is just working. I think it was on January 1st, 2013, John Piper, Dr. John Piper, former pastor in Minnesota, wrote an article in his, he has a publication that is called Desiring God. He wrote an article, and it was called, "At Any Given Time, God is Doing 10,000 Things." Here's the actual quote. I gave it to you before. The actual quote is, "God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, and you may be aware of three of them." I love that quote. I know I've given it to you before. I can't get away from it. I went back and looked at the article because I wanted to just grasp what he was talking about. And I looked at some verses that support that. Here is one. I came up with this last night because I was just loving Job 23. It says in Job 23, if you'll put verses 8 through 10 on the screen, it says, "Behold, I go forward." KJV, Rosie. "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. I go backwards, but I cannot perceive him." He says in verse 9 of Job 23, "On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I can't see him." So let me just tell you before I read you the punchline. So Job is saying, everywhere I'm looking for God. I'm wondering, what is he doing? What is he working out? Where is he at? Why isn't he on my left? Why isn't he on my right? Why isn't he behind me? Where is God? I'm looking for him. And what he is saying is that you can't see him, but he can see you, and he's working things out for you. Paul said in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to those that are called according to his purpose. God is taking care of things behind the scenes, under the scenes, over the scenes, and we're not aware of all of them. God has no obligation to inform us on what he's doing and reveal his plans to us. Those are God's prerogatives, and he chooses to withhold them when he wants to. But that doesn't mean that he ain't doing nothing. He's doing stuff. He's always doing good things for us. I love it. So Job concludes with verse 23. He says this, "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold." God has it worked out. We're going to be okay. God is working things out. "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding," the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, I believe, "exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." You remember that verse? Ephesians 3:20. That's a great verse. To me, it's a verse of hope. It's a verse of encouragement. It's a verse of trust that we can take to the bank. Amen? Amen. So don't be afraid when you can't see what God is doing. Don't think that he's not there. When you don't understand the course of action, don't discount God's work. Because just because we can't quantify it, just because we can't qualify it, just because we can't see it, doesn't mean God isn't busy. Back to the quote, 10,000 things. And yes, sure, that may be hyperbole. It may be accurate. It may be more than that. God is doing something all the time. And he allows us to see what he wants us to see, but that should not identify or define our faith. Amen? Amen. Amen. My Monday morning moment is this. God usually prepares his people on the inside before he grants them victory on the outside. God's always getting us ready. He's preparing us on the inside. So listen, as I close and get ready to take a few questions, if you have any, let me just say this to you. If you don't see a breakthrough yet, if you don't see God manifesting himself on your behalf yet, if you can't see the results of your prayers and your efforts, if you don't see the finished work yet, don't give up. Don't you dare stop walking around that wall. You don't know how many trips. For these guys, it was six. For you, it might be 66. For me, it might be 109. But your job is just to keep walking around the wall until the wall falls down.
Hey, come hand me this, please.
Don't stop. Don't stop walking. The only command was be quiet and keep walking. God will reveal the instructions to you on a need-to-know basis, everybody. Be encouraged. Because you can't see God's hand doesn't mean that it ain't working on your behalf. God is working. He loves us. He protects us. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He said all things work together on our behalf. And he said greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And God is up to something good all the time. Even during hardships. Even during trials. Listen, even during failures. God can work with our failures. God works with our disappointments. Amen. Thank God he does, or we wouldn't be here. Who hasn't disappointed God once? Just once. I know most of y'all have only done one thing wrong in your whole life, but for the rest of us that have messed up weekly, daily, thank God for second chances. Oh, man, God is good. God is good. Lord, we thank you for this word this morning. We ask you to help us to process your word this week. May we put it into action, put it into play. May we live it. May we learn it. May we love it. To your glory, in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Anybody have a quick question or a comment?